Just like when you use your credit card, right? And at the end of the month, the year, whatever it is, they say that you have accrued so many points. And so it is in heaven that as you labor and as you serve down here, when you get to heaven, your rewards are being laid up for you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with God's Rewards Program. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God's Rewards Program.
As we come today, I know it's kind of hard to see. God's Rewards Program. God's Rewards Program. Many of us sitting here today have credit cards in our wallets and our purses. And some of us, the only reason we have a credit card is because we use it to make purchases. And at the end of the month, we pay off those purchases so that we don't accrue any interest or penalties, those of us who are able to do that. And one of the reasons that people get into that type of program is because of the rewards that they receive. That if you spend so much money, you know, people spend money all the time on gas and food and other things in life, and you're going to spend money on it anyways, so you might as well use your credit card. And that way, when you use your credit card, again, I'm emphasizing, pay it off at the end of the month, that you will receive rewards. Well, you know, God has a reward program. Now, I can already hear somebody saying today, well, I don't serve the Lord because of rewards. I serve the Lord because I love Him. You know, and you know, you can be super spiritual here today, right? You know, you can be super spiritual. But the Bible says that God rewards us. Now, you know, you can interpret the scripture your own way. And again, I believe that the first motivation that we should have to serve God is because we love Him. You know, there's no question about that. You know, we should serve the Lord because we love Him. And that's top. That is on the top rung of the ladder. But the Bible does say that we will be rewarded for serving Him. And, you know, this thing called Christianity is amazing. And it's amazing from the standpoint is that God saves us. He took me out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock. I mean, set my feet on the rock to stay. He saves us. He calls us to serve Him. And then He rewards us for doing it. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. What other faith teaches that? What other faith talks about this great salvation that we have that we don't have to do anything for except accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, serve the Lord, and we get rewarded for serving Him? And so again, some of us, you know, we have a hard time receiving that. You know, the fact that God is going to reward us. You know, there was, I hesitated whether to tell this story or not, but I think it's going to prove my point. I was going by this one fast food restaurant on a regular basis. Golden Corral's not fast food, so you know. But I was going by this restaurant, and I went by, and they said, you don't have to pay for your food. I was like, what? No, you don't have to pay for it. So a couple days later, I went back again. Went through, and they said, you don't have to pay for your food. I was like, what? Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm waiting for, you know, me to pull off, right, and the police to come and say he didn't pay, you know, something like that. And then I went by another time, and the same thing happened. And what happened, there was a person there that knew me, and they came up to the window, and they said, look, Pastor, when somebody is trying to bless you, you need to just accept it and not make faces and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I receive it in Jesus' name. And so sometimes, you know, God tries to bless us. God tries to give us things. Oh, well, you know, no, I can't do that. I'm just serving the Lord because, you know, He saved me, and I just want to be this humble servant. All right, saints, come on now. Let's deal with the real deal. That God does have a rewards program. And the rewards are knocking at your door. Now, in case somebody says, well, where do you find that at? In the scripture, I'm going to ask that you would turn to a couple of scriptures. We have four that are listed on the screen for you. The first one is found in Psalm 58 and verse 11. Psalm 58 and verse 11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges the earth. Psalm 62 and verse 12. Psalm 62 and verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Let's move into the New Testament and read the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. A great reward in heaven. And then finally, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. And there'll come a day when the Lord says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So we have this issue out of the way, that we are going to be rewarded for our service down here. Now, again, I want to make it clear, because I don't want anybody to walk away and think that, you know, we need to lift the desire to get rewarded above the desire that we love God. So I keep emphasizing that, because we first and foremost serve the Lord because he loved us. And the scripture says we love him because he first loved us. Now, how do I get into God's rewards program? Well, there are three things that you do, or there are three things as to how God's rewards program worked. First of all, you got to work for the Lord in this life. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 23, he told the church at Thyatira, I'm going to give you according to your works. According to your works. So you got to work for the Lord in this life. And when you work for the Lord in this life, oh, hallelujah, you earn rewards in heaven. Just like when you use your credit card, right? And at the end of the month, the year, whatever it is, they say that you have accrued so many points. And so it is in heaven that as you labor and as you serve down here, when you get to heaven, your rewards are being laid up for you. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19. Now, I'm going through a lot of scriptures this morning because I know that some people have a hard time with this. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19. Jesus says here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So Jesus says that we should be laying up treasures in heaven. We should be laying up rewards in heaven. And so we see that we work, we earn, and then we do what? We redeem them. One day, we're going to redeem them. I remember when I was growing up, and some of you younger people might not remember this, but I remember that my mom used to collect these S&H green stamps, right? And she had this little book, right, where you would get these stamps, and, you know, you would lick the stamp, and then you would fill them up. And when you got so many books, man, you know, they would send you out a little catalog, And I remember, man, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but you know, we would always look, man, you know what? We gonna get that barbecue grill. Oh man, we saving up for that barbecue grill. And so you get those stamps, and you know, you come home, and every little thing you did, man, you made sure you went to shop where you gonna get them little green stamps, right? And then you put them in there, and then you walked into the store, you know, with your chest stuck out, right? You had about 10 books of green stamps. And you, bam, you redeemed them. And so one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to redeem these rewards that we've been laying up here on this earth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10. And here, Paul reminds us. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad." So if you'll go to that next slide, what Paul is referring to is during his day they had the Olympics. And they had two types of Olympics. There were, you know, the Grecian Games, and then there were the Isthmian Games. But what would happen is that those who competed in the game, whoever came in first or second, whatever they deemed was worthy of a award, they would stand at the bottom of that platform right there. And up on the platform would be the judge. And the judge would have somebody standing beside him to make sure that everybody competed lawfully, competed fairly. And if they did, then he would stand and he would give the okay, you know, to this individual. And the judge would give an award to the people that competed in the contest. Now, many of you who are Bible scholars, you will know that this is called the Bema seat. Right, this is called B-E-M-A, the Bema seat of Christ. Where, now, you know, again, we can get into a debate as to how literal, you know, this Bema, you know, in heaven, are we all going to walk up to the Bema? You know, I don't know all that. I don't have all that figured out. But let's put the bottom line is that one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and that we are going to be rewarded for the things that we have done in this life. And so this is what's called, another name for it, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now there's another judgment. It's called the great white throne judgment. And you don't want to be at that one. Because if you go to the great white throne, when you leave there, you are stepping off into eternal judgment. But at this one again, now again, I'm saying I don't know whether there's a platform in heaven. You know, all I know is that God got it worked out, and I'm going to trust him. And so I heard somebody say, you can't trace him, but you can trust him. So I can't figure out how he got it all worked out. You know, I just know that I'm going to stand before him one day. Now, when we think about this, I think it's very important that I bring out this next point. If you go to the next slide, this is a little slide that I put together that's in my book, Bible Prophecy, God's Plans for the Future. And what I talk about in here is the threefold judgment of the believer. That as a child of God, that once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we will never have to stand before Christ and be judged for our sin. Now, this chart that I put together, you'll notice that in the first column, you know, we have the time, position, judgment, place, judge, and the focus. Okay? So in the past, this judgment took place in the past. And what position did we hold? We held the position of a what? A sinner. And what was the judgment? Our sins were judged at Calvary. All right. Who was the judge? The Father. And what was the focus? It was on belief. That, you know, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So as a believer, when we got saved, that we experience this judgment, and that at Calvary, when Christ hung on the cross, when Christ died on the cross, he received the judgment. He took the judgment that you should have took, that I should have took. Christ took that judgment for us. He took our place, and that we will never have to stand at a judgment seat anywhere in the universe and be judged for our sin. That Christ has been judged for us. He took our place. Now, that moves us to right now, right? So there's a present judgment. What is the present judgment? Well, the past judgment was a sinner. The present judgment is a son. And that's why he said in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 5, and I'm going to clean it up, all right? I'm going to clean it up. He said, you are no longer illegitimate children, but what? Your sons. That you are a son of God. And that as a son, what's judged now? In the past, my sins were judged. Right now, my life is judged. Every day, I need to go into the prayer closet and judge my life. And I need to say, Lord, what am I doing right and what am I doing wrong? Lord, how can I do this better? Lord, do I need to make an adjustment here or do I need to make an adjustment there? Where is the place? The place is in your prayer closet, all right? Whereas the place for the judgment of sin, that was on Calvary. Who is the judge? Well, there's two people. First of all, you're the judge. You need to judge yourself. You need to realize if there are things in your life that are not right, and you need to judge them. But where is the second level of judgment? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? When we go into the prayer closet and we pray, the Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us, you know, where we're wrong and shows us how we need to make adjustment. What is the focus there? The focus is on being so that we can be a better Christian, all right? Not so that we can get saved, no, not so that we can become a Christian, so that we can be a better Christian, because we got saved in the past.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me. So many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory. Now we come to the future. And what is the future? That is the judgment seat of Christ. And the time is in the future. Now notice the difference. In the past, we've been judged as a sinner. In the present, we are judged as a son. Watch this now. This is important. Don't miss this. In the future, we'll be judged as a steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of every steward that a man be found faithful. So what is a steward? A steward is one who has been given possessions of another to exercise faithful, trustworthy stewardship over it. So what has God given you? God has given you the three T's: time, talent, and treasure. He has made you a steward over those three things. And one day, God is going to call you into account at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to say, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your talents? And what did you do with your treasures? He's going to ask you that question. And so, saints, lest we think we can live every day and do our own thing and do whatever we want to do without any accountability, you are dead wrong. That one day you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And who is the judge? The judge there is none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the past, the focus was on belief. In the present, the focus is on being. In the future, it's going to be your behavior. And see, now, the problem is sometimes we need to realize that our sin, even though we will not be judged for our sin because Christ took the judgment on Calvary, even though we will not be judged for our sin, that sin can affect our what? Our stewardship. So if we living in sin and separated from God, then that's going to affect our stewardship. So that when I get to heaven and I'm standing up there at the Bema seat, that there may be some things that I don't get because sin affected the way I lived and served the Lord. So if you'll go on to that next slide. How do you earn points in God's rewards program? That's what we all want to know, right? We all want to know that. How do we earn points in God's rewards program? Well, you know, I'm so glad that the scripture is saying this for me and that I don't have to say it for myself, because you guys wouldn't believe me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So at the end of my message, I asked the question, you know, how do you get into this program? Well, I'm going to go ahead and answer it right now. The only way you get into this program is through Jesus Christ. All right? So if you come any other way, you got a bad credit card. You know, you take that credit card that you got to heaven and you try to get in, not only are you not going to get any rewards, you're not even going to get in. So the only way that you can get in is through.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God's Rewards Program. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God's Rewards Program, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Rewards Program. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Rewards Program. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.